morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. I believe you need to know why you believe the Bible is true in order to experience the benefit of it as the ultimate resource for your life. Because if you don't know why you believe the Bible's true, and you encounter the high commitment level the Bible calls you to really trust that it gives you the right goals in life, the right things to value, the right way to achieve those things, it requires that when you don't understand something in the Bible, when you don't really see or feel the benefit right away, that you're trusting in it, and you've got to, in order to get through those times, you've got to know why your faith is grounded in solid evidence. So I'm talking about the evidence. I'm kind of summarizing what I cover in chapter 2 of my book, Prosperous and Successful. So I'm focusing on that chapter this week. And I've started off with Jesus, the evidence for his death and resurrection, that he claimed to be God, and that someone claiming to be God who dies and rises from the dead, something they themselves said would happen, and really does it, history confirms it. Well, we can trust what they say. They're not crazy or a liar. They really are who they say they are. And they love that person, Jesus, loves you so much he went to the cross. Therefore, when he says you can trust the Bible and that it is the authoritative ultimate resource for life, you can trust him. Now, that raises some questions, and I haven't covered all the historical evidence. I've kind of referenced that there is some. I've touched on it a little. I touch on it a little more in my book, but I'll let you do the research if you want to research it more. But I do say this. You have other skeptics, atheists, who have done the historical research into the death and resurrection of Jesus, trying to prove that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, and they end up becoming Christians. And so that, to me, I think is a powerful testimony. So for instance, you have Lee Strobel, a journalist, and he decided to do an investigative journalistic report using the same skills that made him a high-level journalist in the newspaper world. And he looked into it. He was an atheist. He thought he'd see how laughable it is, the evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. He ends up becoming a Christian and writing a best-selling book, The Case for Christ, because the evidence was overwhelming. Or take J. Warner Wallace, for instance. J. Warner Wallace was a homicide detective. And he was a cold case homicide detective. So he would show up to murder scenes. He wouldn't show up to murder scenes. He did some of that. But as a cold case detective, he would go back and look at the evidence that had been collected in the past. There's no longer a crime scene to investigate. And he would solve murder mysteries. He would try to put together evidence to convict someone of committing murder based on evidence that had been recorded, evidence that had been written down, re-interviewing witnesses years after the fact. And he decided to take those skills that he learned about how to find out when a witness has been lying and how to ask questions to get to the truth and how to compare it to physical evidence. He took that as his basis. He said, I'm going to investigate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to treat Jesus' death as a cold case homicide, and I'm going to see if there's any evidence. And he was an atheist, and he thought that he was going to be able to write this great book on how you know that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, and he ends up becoming a believer because the evidence is overwhelming. So, if the evidence is so overwhelming, you might think to yourself, why are there so many people who don't believe in Christianity and don't believe Jesus rose from the dead? Let me give you an example of someone. This is Bart Ehrman. Bart Ehrman is one of the most respected, probably the most respected New Testament scholar on the planet today. And he is not a believer in Christ. He studies the New Testament and writes about the background and what the New Testament teaches from a non-Christian perspective. He once was a Christian, but while he was in seminary, he said, you know what, I just don't believe this anymore for various reasons. And Bart Ehrman is one of the leading critics or skeptics of Christianity out there today. Why is it that he doesn't believe in the resurrection? Well, in his own writings, he says some interesting things about this. He says that if you were to look at the death and resurrection, he says he believes Jesus died on the cross, The history is unquestionable, and he's one of the leading historians in the world on this. Jesus did die on the cross. He certainly was dead when he was taken down from the cross. This was publicly witnessed. He was buried in a tomb. The third day, that tomb was discovered empty. And there were many people, disciples of Jesus, who claimed to see him alive and claimed he had risen from the dead. That much Bart Ehrman will acknowledge. He will also say that the best explanation, the most reasonable explanation as to how this occurred, is that Jesus actually did rise from the dead, except for one problem. People don't rise from the dead. You see, Bart Ehrman thinks, well, because the resurrection would be a miracle. I mean, it would be a miracle for someone to rise from the dead. That kind of stuff doesn't happen. People don't rise from the dead. Therefore, when we look at the historical evidence for Jesus' resurrection, we have to assume at the outset that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that there must be some other explanation. And Bart Ehrman will go on, and I give some quotes in my book. He will go on to talk about how all of the other possible explanations for the resurrection are filled with problems. None of them are very reasonable to believe, but one of them has to be right because people don't rise from the dead. Now, I would submit that what's going on here is that Bart Ehrman is assuming at the outset that there is no God. And if there is no God, then of course people don't rise from the dead. But if God is real, if there is a God who created the heavens and the earth, and he loves us and cares about us, and wants to know us and wants us to know him, then it would make sense for God to in some way communicate, reveal himself to us, and it certainly would be possible for someone like Jesus, who is revealing God to humanity, to be able to die and rise from the dead. If God created the universe, a resurrection is no problem for him, right? So the real question is God real? The God of the Bible. Is there a God who's all-powerful, who created us, who has a purpose for us, who loves us, who wants us to know him? If that's true, we would expect him to work in history to reveal himself, and a resurrection should be no difficult thing for him. And so then the only question is, do we see a match? And Jesus, of course, is the match. Jesus died and rose from the dead. So, the question really is there a God or not? If there is no God, then of course a resurrection is impossible. But if there is a God, even a leading skeptic of Christianity will acknowledge that in that case, of course, there was a resurrection. Of course, Jesus is who he said he was. So really it comes down to, when you look at the historical evidence, if you believe there is a God, you're going to believe Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus is God, and we can trust what Jesus says about the Bible. If you don't believe there is a God, then you're going to say, no matter how much evidence, that didn't happen. And so this question, you know, did Jesus really rise from the dead, rests on, is there a God? And so I'm going to take a little bit of time over the next couple days to address this question, is there a God? Now, I'm expecting most of you listening to the program already believe there is a God. But I think it's important to have a rock-solid foundation of understanding. Here's how we know that God is real. Not just a God, not just a power, but the God of the Bible, a loving God, an all-powerful God, and a God we should expect to see working in history. And when you have a clear foundation of understanding that, then there's no obstacle whatsoever to trusting Jesus and trusting what Jesus said about the Bible. So we're going to start to look at some of the evidence for the existence of God. And I hope this is helpful for building up your faith, creating a more firm foundation for your faith, but also to be in conversation with others who maybe struggle with this question or don't believe in God. And basically what I'm going to say is that it is not really possible to prove there is a God, but that shouldn't really matter. The only reasonable belief to have, given the world that we live in, is that there is a God. And that's the case I'm going to make starting tomorrow. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.